Brazilian star Neymar. Senegal versus Brazil in Singapore was also billed as a showdown between Liverpool stars Sadio Mane of Senegal and Roberto Firmino of Brazil. At a news conference before the game, Mane had this to say.
Facing against my teammates is for me an honor to play against Brazil for sure. It's one of the best teams in the world. Of course, I always talk with Firmino about it before. I know that it will be so difficult game.
Once again, the final score from Singapore. Brazil 1, Senegal 1 in a friendly international football match. The Brazilians will play another friendly against Nigeria on Sunday in Singapore. From Singapore, let's go to Shanghai, China, where the Brooklyn Nets edged the Los Angeles Lakers Thursday 114-111 in a preseason National Basketball Association exhibition game. Now, there were questions whether the game would even be played after the Chinese government canceled several NBA events leading up to the contest. Yes, it was a tumultuous week for the NBA in China, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
The ball has bounced an awkward way this week in China for the National Basketball Association.
Daryl's tweet has hit what I would describe as a third rail issue here in China.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is trying to defuse a social media comment by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, who sent a tweet over the weekend in support of pro-democracy advocates in Hong Kong.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees.
That right to free speech and the topic hasn't set well with many in mainland China, where the NBA has grown to become the nation's most popular sport, and where fans especially pay attention to the Houston Rockets, the franchise that featured for many years Chinese star Yao Ming. Still, Commissioner Silver stood by Morey.
We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. I regret, again, having communicated directly with many friends in China, that so many people are upset, including millions and millions of our fans.
Silver did try to tell Chinese fans the NBA's goal in their country remains all about the game itself.
We come with basketball as an opportunity to sell dreams, sell hopes, that to increasingly focus on physical fitness, mental health, and to the extent that we are causing disruption in people's lives and that we are causing disharmony, that's something I regret.
Yao Ming is one of China's best-known athletes. His NBA Hall of Fame career, all 9 seasons with the Houston Rockets, ended with injury. Yao has since become chairman of the Chinese Basketball Association. In response to Morey's tweet, the CBA announced it was canceling a cooperation agreement with the Rockets. Adam Silver hopes the situation can be settled.
I'm hoping that together Yao Ming and I can find an accommodation, but he is extremely hot at the moment, and I understand.
And what the NBA commissioner understands is the huge and lucrative Chinese market is always a challenge.
I'm a realist as well, and I recognize that this issue may not die down so quickly.
The NBA's Houston Rockets are in Japan to play a couple of preseason games with the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. In China, games scheduled between the Brooklyn Nets, now owned by Taiwanese-born businessman Joe Tsai, and the Los Angeles Lakers in Shanghai and Shenzhen will not be televised in China. All 11 of the NBA's official Chinese partners have suspended ties with the league. There's a lot at stake for the NBA. The Chinese market makes up at least 10% of the league's current revenue, and that could reach 20% by 2030. Mark Hyman, professor of sports management at George Washington University, says the NBA and other professional sports leagues are finding themselves in a whole new ballgame amid the Houston Rockets controversy in China.
Professional sports are entering a new phase where the fan bases and the scope, the reach of professional sports have become so global that they're in an entirely new set of issues for league officials, for commissioners and club officials to navigate. I think this is one example.
Professional sports obviously have huge audiences of millions in the United States, but Hyman puts the numbers in perspective when it comes to China.
The NBA Finals typically draws an audience on mobile alone of more than 200 million viewers in China. There are more followers, social media followers of the NBA on Weibo, 41 million, than on either Facebook or Twitter. So, you know, it's a business calculation for the NBA, how to preserve the fan base and its presence in China, while at the same time demonstrating to fans and others that there is a social conscience as well.
Freedom of speech and the Chinese market will seemingly always be at odds in the foreseeable future, according to Hyman.
Looking long term, issues like this one are not going to go away. I mean, the NBA players and to an extent NBA officials are well known for using social media platforms to speak out and to share their views on issues. So it would not surprise for this to continue to be a source of tension in the relationship between not only the NBA, but all professional Western sports leagues and the Chinese government.
That's Mark Hyman, professor of sports management at George Washington University here in Washington. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that report. The Chinese government put tight restrictions on Thursday's Brooklyn Nets, Los Angeles Lakers preseason game in Shanghai. Players and coaches from the teams were not allowed to talk to reporters before or after the exhibition contest. And a pregame news conference with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver also was not held. Silver and the NBA have traveled roads all over the world in recent years to make their league a global brand. But you might say the road in China had more than a few bumps this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
The Women's National Basketball Association will crown a first-time champion later Thursday night here in Washington. That's where the Washington Mystics will play the Connecticut Sun in the decisive Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. The Mystics are playing in their second consecutive WNBA Finals after being swept in three straight games by the Seattle Storm a year ago. The Sun, meanwhile, hasn't been to the championship series since going to back-to-back WNBA Finals in 2004 and 2005 under Mike Tebow, who is now the Mystics coach. Washington and Connecticut have each won a game on the other's court during this series. Point guard Courtney Williams has been Connecticut's high scorer in the WNBA Finals, averaging just over 18 points each game. And Belgian forward Emma Mieseman has been Washington's high scorer at 19 points a game. In pro boxing, October 30th marks the 45th anniversary of the epic Rumble in the Jungle, the world heavyweight title fight between then-champion George Foreman and the late Muhammad Ali in Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Foreman was undefeated and younger and stronger than Ali, but the greatest Ali defied the odds, winning by knockout just before the end of the eighth round. VOA's Adam Phillips looks back on the classic clash in Kinshasa.
George Foreman, now the heavyweight champion himself, did accept Ali's challenge. Ali was heavily favored to lose. The boxing world readied itself for a colossal contest between the two men. It was set for Kinshasa in the former Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ali called the contest the Rumble in the Jungle.
I think it was speaking to the historic role that Ali had played in terms of black nationalism, black pride.
Almost from the beginning, the African public favored Muhammad Ali over George Foreman. Sammons explains part of the cause.
George Foreman made the serious mistake of taking a German police dog with him to Zaire. And this dog symbolized oppression and white colonialism. So George Foreman became persona non grata. And there was this famous French chant by kids and others, Ali Bumbaye, Ali kill him.
In private, Ali lacked confidence. He spontaneously came to call on his friend, the photographer George Kolinsky, at his office.
And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm fighting George Foreman in Zaire. He's too big, he's too strong, he's too fast, he's too young, he's too quick, he's too big. There's no way I can beat him in this fight."
Kolinsky says he thought about it for a moment, then came up with a strategy that would become an Ali hallmark.
I said, "You know, Muhammad, all your life you've been training for this fight, but you didn't know it. Whenever I saw you working out, which are many, many times working out in a gym with your sparring partner, what you do is you lean against the ropes and you let your sparring partner hit you and hit you and hit you. What you do the night of the fight is the same thing. You lean against the ropes, just let them swing away, and you act like a dope on the ropes, like you're sick, like you're not well. And eventually he's going to tire himself out. Then you knock him out." He said, "You mean you want me to be a rope-a-dope?" I said, "Okay, we'll call it rope-a-dope." And that's what happened when he fought George Foreman.
The fight took place in a football stadium under the moon. It was a brutal contest, but Ali sent Foreman to the floor in the eighth round and reclaimed his heavyweight title. As ecstatic fans streamed to the ring, the commentator, David Frost, crowed, "The great man has done it. This is the most joyous scene in the history of boxing." For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Thanks, Adam. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, joins us now with an update on a couple of Ghanaian prize fighters.
Oh, Sunny. Isaac Dogbe and his pop, you know, Paul Dogbe. They claim they have an ankle injury during training session in Calabasas, not too far from Los Angeles, outdoor training. Well, a lot of people feel that it's a way for him to pull out of the November 30 fight against former world champion Carl Frampton from the UK. In the first place, Isaac Dogbe needs two easy fights before going against Carl Frampton or anybody. And Isaac Dogbe needs a trainer, not his father. His father needs to go back to London and face his own business, allow other people to take care of his business for his son. I'd like to see Dogbe get his act together, really. All these fights, all these names they are mentioning, a loss again will be devastating for this young fighter. And I don't think it will really help him at all. So father has to make way. I mean, going from Freddie Roach to James Toney as a trainer, that just won't cut it. This kid needs very, very important touch. This kid needs a world-class trainer that will talk to him without his father in the corner shouting instructions.
Nnamdi, 1 week after AJ Andy Ruiz in December, Richard Comey back in the ring, Ghana's lightweight champion. Tell us about that.
Well, the fight is set for December 14, Madison Square Garden. Richard Comey against Teofimo Lopez. Winner gets a crack at Vasily Lomachenko, who has the belt. And I think when Richard Comey brings his own belt, if he beats Teofimo Lopez, that will be for the pound-for-pound title of the world. Great fights. I don't think Teofimo Lopez is ready because he has some family issues to deal with. And the promoter and his dad is the one pushing him to this fight. But in Richard Comey, we have a rugged African who can take you out with both hands. And he's hungry right now. And I think winner of that fight will be in a good position to fight Lomachenko. And that will be for the pound-for-pound title.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A fierce tropical storm is expected to hit the Tokyo area this weekend, disrupting the Rugby World Cup tournament. Joining us with details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. As Super Typhoon Hagibis makes its way towards Japan, Rugby World Cup organizers were forced to cancel matches for the first time in the tournament's 32-year history. Tournament director Alan Gilpin made the announcement on Thursday.
We are today confirming adjustments to this weekend's Rugby World Cup 2019 match schedule as a result of the predicted significant impact of Typhoon Hagibis. This includes, regrettably, the decision to cancel matches on safety grounds. Based on this morning's information from our independent weather experts, Hagibis is predicted to be the biggest typhoon of the 2019 season and is highly likely to cause considerable disruption in the Tokyo, Yokohama, and city of Toyota areas throughout Saturday.
The Pool B match between New Zealand and Italy has been canceled, along with the Pool C match between England and France. Gilpin said the organizers examined all possible contingencies that included moving the games behind closed doors, but ultimately they were left with no other option.
The risks are just too challenging to enable us to deliver a fair and consistent contingency approach for all teams and participants, and importantly, to provide confidence in the safety of spectators. All fans with tickets to those cancelled matches will receive a full refund.
Well, the promise of a full refund was not enough to quell the frustration of thousands of fans who now have to figure out what to do in light of a cancelled game and an impending storm.
It's absolutely deflating, really. You travel halfway around the world, you expect a really good games, weather is closing in, and it's just such a shame. We're all geared up for it. We've all travelling around supporting our team, England. And it's a real downer on the whole tournament, really.
Yesterday was a beautiful day of rugby, three matches, a lot of camaraderie. I was hanging out with some English folk and just having a good time with them. And I really wanted to go. England-France is a huge match, really excited to go. And they gave one of the guys had a ticket, and I bought it, £300, bought it for it. And I really want to go, but I'm a little disappointed now they cancelled it.
Yeah, we're disappointed not to see the game on Saturday, but I think it's the right decision in terms of safety for the players and obviously the fans as well. So it's a shame, but England are through anyway to the quarterfinals, so it's okay.
And as you just heard, England, along with France, has booked a spot in the quarterfinals, and their cancelled match means England will sit at the top of the group. England head coach Eddie Jones expressed his disappointment in not being able to play his match against France, but called the disruptive typhoon a gift from the gods.
Great opportunity. Who would have thought we'd have, two relatively easy games, one tough game, and then 2 weeks to prepare for a quarterfinal? So someone's smiling on us. The typhoon gods, maybe.
According to the rugby rule book, cancelled games are considered a 0-0 draw. So in the case of the Pool B match between New Zealand and Italy, the decision places Italy in third place and they are eliminated from the tournament. Meanwhile, New Zealand sits at the top of the group with South Africa going through as runners-up. Typhoon Hagibis is expected to make landfall over the weekend, which leaves Sunday's Japan-Scotland match still in doubt. If the match is canceled, the host team will sit at the top of Group A and advance to the quarterfinal stage for the first time. We'll keep you posted, sports fans. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. As Gwen mentioned, two-time world champion South Africa already has booked its ticket to the quarterfinals at the Rugby World Cup. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cape Town, where he reached the head coach of Nigeria's men's rugby national team, Bronson Weir.
The opposition is yet to be decided, but it seems like it will be Japan. And I think South Africa's our favourite to take that one, although it will be a tough match. Japan will be much more tougher in the World Cup. South Africa did beat them recently in a warm-up match just before the World Cup, but I think South Africa will pull that one through at the end of the day.
How would you assess the games they've played getting to the quarterfinal stage?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure if you're aware of the announcement, but the France, England, Italy and New Zealand matches have been cancelled due to a typhoon in Japan. But I do think it will still be, I think New Zealand, Ireland, that seems to be the next one to watch. I think that will be a very tightly contested match, and it will be difficult to choose a winner there depending on the weather. Yeah, it's going to be very tough. And the other quarterfinals, I think it will be the bigger teams to go through. I think Wales will go through. And there could be Australia will also be the other one. I think the four teams there would be England, New Zealand, South Africa, and Australia.
Yeah, looking at England, Wales, Australia, how do you fancy the chances of the Springboks against any of them?
To be honest with you, I really think that it will be a New Zealand-South Africa final again, but also dependent on the weather at the end of the day. If it's going to be rainy weather, the Northern Hemisphere teams might pull it through, but I do think South Africa and New Zealand are favourites to be in the final. To choose a winner there will be very difficult, but I do think that those are two teams that will pull through at the end of the day.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's men's rugby national team, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa. An update on the Major League Baseball playoffs. The St. Louis Cardinals will host the Washington Nationals Friday night in Game 1 of the Best of 7 National League Championship Series. And the New York Yankees will play either the Houston Astros or Tampa Bay Rays in the American League Championship Series. In playoff action Wednesday night, the Washington Nationals advanced with a dramatic extra inning road victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
Howie Kendrick hit a 10th inning grand slam as the Nationals stunned the Dodgers in a winner-take-all game 5-7-3. The 14-year vet delivered off reliever Joe Kelly.
He was throwing a lot of breaking balls, but, you know, for some reason I had a feeling that I should just sit fastball, just stay with the fastball. And, you know, the first pitch, breaking ball, I took a good swing on it. I just recognized it. And then, you know, he threw me a fastball, and I just didn't miss it that time. That's awesome. You know, it's probably the best moment of my career. And, you know, I wouldn't change anything about how we got here or how I got here.
L.A. got to Steven Strasburg early, getting a two-run homer from Max Muncy in the first inning and a solo shot by Kike Hernandez in the second. But the Dodger bats then went silent, still facing a 3-1 deficit and Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto club back-to-back homers in the eighth to tie the score, setting the stage for Kendrick. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the October 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zainab Abdulrahman. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Export-Import Bank strives to increase the continent's share in global trade and promote growth. Afrexibank and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, this is Peter Clottey, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
It's that time again when the Nobel Prize winners for the year are announced in Sweden. William Kalin Jr., Sir Peter Radcliffe, and Greg Semenza won the 2019 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for discovering how cells can sense and adapt to changing oxygen availability. Winners of the 2019 Nobel Prize in Physics are James Peebles for theoretical discoveries in physical cosmology and Michel Mayor and Didier Queloz for the discovery of an exoplanet orbiting a solar-type star. And the 2019 Nobel Prize winners in chemistry are John Goodenough, M. Stanley Whittingham, and Akira Yoshino for their efforts in developing rechargeable lithium-ion batteries. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.